12-0 or 0-12. We're going to talk about the best and the worst case scenarios for Florida State in 2025. As Michael, this feels like a crazy season, right? Typically, when you go into any season, you're kind of like, all right, I think within about two games of where you think the team should be. This year could be anywhere on the map, and that's what's so confusing about this team. Are we going to be that kind of 13-0 team that we saw 2 years ago? Are we going to be 2-10 that we saw last year? Where is Florida State going to land? So, man, this is going to be an interesting show. A little bit of maybe some cold water and a little bit of blind optimism. So excited to get into this one. But before we do that, welcome back, Michael. I hope you enjoyed your cruise. Left me here at the port. So not fair, but that's okay. But, man, how are you and excited for this one?
Oh, man, thanks for having me, Jesse. I'm so good. Yeah, the cruise was, it was something else. Steph, you know what? We made it back, and we're here. And, you know, I was just thinking in your intro, dude, I've been following Florida State for all my whole life that I can remember. So the earliest memory is like 94 season. I can't tell you there's ever been a season where I did not have a clue on ceiling versus floor for Florida State. Usually you're within 1 to 2 games, right? Yep. It's very rare that it's something catastrophic like what we experienced last year. And coming off of that, it's just like really hard to determine, but we're going to talk about it, figure it out.
Yeah, I agree, man. And that's like when we talk about this team for next year, it's just it could be anywhere. And I mean, I feel there's reasons that I feel like it would be at one end of the spectrum. And then there's reasons why I feel like it could end up at the other. Not saying it will, but that's what we're going to talk about today. Towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about the best case, the worst case, kind of the most likely case in our mind. We're going to do a refresh as we run through the schedule just to kind of set the stage for where we're at here. But before we get into that, one cool thing, man, Michael, I'm just ready for the season to get started because I'm ready to find out. And one of the reasons that I am excited is we got to pick our season tickets the other day, and I'm sad we didn't get back to the West Side. But me and Michael did manage to get our season tickets right next to each other, which we were trying to hope and plan on that. And things just kind of the stars aligned to work that way. So that makes me even more excited for next season. And that also means if we do a ticket giveaway, you're going to get to watch a game with Michael himself. So that should be fun for you guys too there. And then one other thing I want to mention too is I'm sorry, guys. I look like a complete and total idiot after that video I recorded yesterday on quarterback recruiting. Not me per se, but the video looks kind of silly now that Keyshawn Henderson, 5-star quarterback who is committed to Houston, basically reassured his commitment to Houston and canceled his official visit to Florida State. So if you watched that video yesterday, just kindly skip that part and listen to what I had to say on Duckworth and Jaden O'Neal. If you didn't watch that video yesterday, it's okay this one time. You can just skip it. So that's it's disappointing news, man. I mean, that was one that you kind of you felt good about being able to get him on campus. You were hoping this was something that could be a win in recruiting. You know, man, I feel like that may have been a long shot to begin with to kind of get this kid. But it's just kind of another, you know, almost like a tick on the sheet of bad things that have happened at quarterback here at Florida State. So now I think with that being said, man, the pressure is on to land either Landon Duckworth or Jaden O'Neal. And it sounds like there's probably some dominoes that need to fall for either one of those to happen. But yeah, I mean, it's just it's kind of disappointing news because you went from just 3 on the board, your top 3 targets, to now it's down to 2. And, you know, one of them is favored to go to 2 different schools and not yours. And one of them is currently committed to another school. So, you know, just another woe at quarterback. But hopefully they have a backup plan and hopefully they can land one of those two guys, man. But yeah, kind of looked a little silly on that video yesterday.
Yeah, listen, you weren't silly. You shouldn't even have to apologize for that. It's just a draw of recruiting, high school recruiting right now. You know, that the Houston kid, Henderson, right? Am I saying his name right? Yeah, Henderson. He was committed to Houston. Houston's his hometown. He already had a relationship with Willie Fritz, who was, you know, was at FAMU, and then he became the new Houston coach. And so it made sense that was going to happen. You know, Landon Duckworth, you talking about going down from 3 options to 2 options. I just saw this morning that Landon Duckworth, there was a what is it called? The crystal ball.
Yeah.
From Steve Wiltform for South Carolina. So they're saying that he might go there. So you might be down to 1 option. I mean, again, like you said, Jesse, this is just another tick on why the jury is about to come back on Mike Norvell. I mean, it's about to come back and it's about to be guilty on all charges. And I mean, because we're just seeing this over and over again, year after year, failure at quarterback recruiting, failure at quarterback recruiting, failure at quarterback recruiting. And just look at it. The years that we've not had good quarterback play, what has Florida State done? Not very well. So,
yeah, no, I agree, man. And it's like, as probably two of the most pro Mike Norvell people, it's getting tiring, right?
It's hard to really defend him much anymore. It's getting really hard now.
Yeah, and I mean, you knew it was always going to be a little bit of a tough sell in Gus Malzahn's system, right? I mean, that was there as well. But just to, you know, kind of get that, and I don't blame him for trying to get the kid on campus. No, I don't. And you know, it obviously wasn't my fault that he reaffirmed his commitment. But at the same time, again, man, it's just a little bit frustrating that it's kind of like one thing after another. So let's just hope that you land one of the other two, and let's just hope that Kevin Sperry is that dude like they talked about in spring. So we'll see. But the last thing I want to just introduce here before we get into the heart of this episode is something that me and Michael debated on last time we talked. And it's something that I had said that would be new for the channel that I had always been on the fence about. And then lo and behold, I guess it was written in the stars. You couldn't have made this any more perfect. One of our subscribers, we appreciate him. We said this was one of his favorite shows, Mr. Fleming, commented that we should open the channel to memberships. And it's something that we have talked about for a while. I'm going to be a little bit open and honest with you guys here, something I haven't talked about before. Last year's 2-10 season was pretty devastating from a lot of different things. And it was really hard on the Tallahassee economy. And if most of you have noticed, we don't advertise for Alumni Hall anymore because of the economic impact the 2-10 season had. They had to make cutbacks. So we did lose our title sponsor. And that was kind of a shot to the heart for the channel. And, you know, anytime you do something like this, there is a cost that's associated with it, trying to grow and maybe, you know, hire new people or things like that. That cost too. So it's something that kind of hurt the channel a little bit there. And so memberships was something that we thought about exploring. But my mission since I started this was to never put any of our content behind a paywall. I don't want there to be any separation between people who maybe support us financially and people who support us by just watching and being fans, because that's a lot of the reason I started this channel, because some of the major outlets here, and I won't name any names, always felt like they ignored you unless you gave them money. And that's one of the main reasons why Plant the Spear was born, because I hated that. And so with that being said, I think we are going to open up some memberships here on YouTube. You can join the channel. It'll be a way that you can support us for a few bucks a month. We're going to start with just kind of one level at a very reasonable rate. If you're interested and you can afford it, by all means, we'd love to have you on board.
Yep.
If you can't, don't worry. You're not going to miss anything. There will be some perks and benefits for the people who do join, maybe some like special giveaways when we do some giveaway ticket giveaways and things like that. We've talked about having like some live hangouts, some Q&As or something like that, you know, every now and then, where it's just, you know, for members and things like that. But I don't want it to feel like if that's not something you want to do, that you're being excluded from anything, because all of our content, and, you know, we both work full-time jobs. So it's hard for us to put out enough content as we want anyway, let alone do extra for members only. So this is just kind of it's like your bartender, right? He's going to bring you that beer either way. It's whether that's you tip him or not. You know, that's your choice. And so that's kind of what we're going to do with this. But I just wanted to give you an introduction before we turn that on. If you do watch us on YouTube, that will be something that will be available.
Well, let me say this real quick to our Plant the Spear fans out there. Listen, you can't get a better, you know, founder, content creator than Jesse, because Plant the Spear was built by a fan for the fans. Okay. All those other media outlets out there, I'm not dogging them. They're great. They do it because they love Florida State too, but they were built with the intention of earning and doing that. This was built by a fan for you. And so this additional membership that we're offering, if you don't sign up for it, you're still going to get the same PTS Plant the Spear experience that you've always gotten. For those who actually say, hey, I want to actually be a part of helping this this organization, this fan site grow, you're going to get those live hangouts, those Q&As, those giveaways. That's really what you're signing up for. And it's a great opportunity because you get more involved. You become a stakeholder in helping Plant the Spear become more for the fans. That was started by a fan.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. And the thing is, like, I don't want to sit here and say, like, oh, you get priority response in the comments and things like that. Because guess what? I respond to all of our comments anyway, unless you're kind of an idiot Miami fan or a Florida fan, then I don't respond to you. Sometimes I do. But I respond to everybody anyway. So like you're still all going to get that. This is just a kind of a way to help us kind of make back some of the cost that this does. So, I mean, again, if you're interested in that, we'll activate that. I really don't even know how these work. We're going to figure it out together. But that's something that we want to turn on. And so we appreciate you guys. It's just a way for you to say a little extra thank you for us here at Plant the Spear, for what we do. If you, like Michael said, if you don't worry about it. We totally understand, you know, we, every time we're at a game, we have a tailgate, everybody's invited anyway.
That's right.
So, you know, it's just something that if you find it in your heart to do that, then we really appreciate it. And if not, you're still, like you said, going to get everything from the PTS family. So enough about that. Let's get into the actual content of this episode. So where's Florida State going to fall in 2025? Best worst case scenario. That's what we're all wondering right now. That is what is on every Florida State fan's mind. And I think everybody's a little nervous for week one because we're probably going to find out how this is going to look
very quick,
real quick. Like you are jumping in head first with two bricks on your feet to find out how you're going to do. And like we said, man, I think the variance here is really, really wide. I think, you know, just we're going to talk about this later more in depth, but I think you're talking anywhere from 4 to 9 wins could be possible on the spectrum. And typically, you know, we had mentioned this where you feel like 1 to 2 game variance. Like I think last year, I don't want to tell you what I thought last year because I'm talking about looking like an idiot. But, you know, typically like you would be, let's use 2023. That's an even better example.
Right.
How about that? I was like, okay, I think we were going to go 11-1 to 12-0, whether you win at Clemson or not. This year, that could be a 6-game variance in where you feel like it's going to be. So we're going to talk about some of the reasons why. Now, I do think Florida State should be better this year, and we covered that on another episode just last week. So I'm going to, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to do one of those card things that I've never done on this channel. So hopefully there's a floating box up there where you can click on it. I do suggest you go back and watch that, because it will go more in depth. But in a nutshell, the turnover margin last year was terrible. -16, 130 something in the country. That typically never repeats itself. So as long as Florida State cannot be -16 in turnover margin, I think that's good for a couple wins. The ground game, stopping the run and running the ball. Tony White's defense, built to stop the run. Gus Malzahn's offense, built to run the ball. I think if you do those two things, which are something that we did not do well last year, I think that's going to lead to be better. And then the strength of schedule is not quite what it was last year. You still have a couple of tough games in hand here, but you also have some of your mid to lower tier games or should be a little more winnable for Florida State. Again, remember every team you played last year except for Charleston Southern ended up being a bowl team. But again, go watch that episode if you want more of an in-depth breakdown because we go into all of it. But at the same time, I think at the end of the day, Michael, no matter what the record is, and it does matter. I think it needs to look better, right? Like if you go 7-5, but you kept it close in every single game, that might not be as bad as going 8-4, but you got blown out in the 4 games that you lost. So it does need to look better. And the number does matter because I think anything that doesn't equate to a bowl berth equates to maybe a new staff, a new head coach going into next year. But it does matter. And so we'll talk about our most likely scenario. So give me some thoughts on that. And then we're going to run through the schedule real quick just to kind of do a quick refresh on where we're at for 2025.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It does matter. It's not just the number, though the number is the most important thing. It's also how you look getting to that number. So if you get to an 8-4 season, but like you said, the 4 big games that you play, you get your butt handed to you. I don't know if the fans will feel better about the number, but I don't know if they'll feel better about the program. So you'll basically be walking into 2026 just as much on thin ice as you are walking into this season. But if you go 8-4 and you're competitive in those 4 games that you end up losing, then you're going to have the fans feel better. Now, again, let me just say this, Jesse, and you would agree with me. 8-4 at Florida State is unacceptable.
It's not good enough.
I mean, we're used to winning 10 games. We're used to competing for championships. We're used to being in the national conversation. But for right now, we will accept an 8-4 because it just needs to be a lot better than 2-10. But it matters. That number matters. At the end of the day, that number matters most. You cannot, let me be positive. You can get to 8-4. There's a realm of possibility you can get to 8-4. You got to get to 8-4. I believe you can get to 8-4. That is the thing that's going to really kind of be the barometer by which this whole staff is returning or not returning next year.
Right. Yeah, and I think this year it needs to be 8-4, knowing what you came from last year. But correct. At the same time, you know, going forward, next year is going to be year 7. I think right. your floor needs to be like 9 wins next year.
That's right.
So this is kind of that one-off year you get because of crazy things that happen. And,
right.
you know, I will say that, like, a turnaround is possible. And I do believe that it's going to happen. How much of one, I don't know. But at the same time, a lot of us didn't see 5-7 to 10-3 happening from 21 right. to 22. We sure the heck didn't see 13-1 down to 2-10. So wild swings, they're possible, right? And they can happen. So let's first run through the schedule a little bit here just to do a refresh. Obviously, we know a lot about who we play, but we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about each team, and then we're going to go into our best worst case scenario kind of talking points here. So to start with, in August, you have Alabama here, game 1. We know that's going to be a tough one. They went 9-4 last year. They did beat Wisconsin 42-10. They beat Georgia. They beat Mizzou 34-0. Still a dangerous, very good team when they rise to the occasion. But they did go 2-4 outside of Bryant Denny, lost 2 of their last 3 games. And really, they should have had a 5th loss against South Carolina. Now, their scoring offense was still 22nd in the country. Scoring defense was still 10th in the country. So, again, this is still a really good team. As you know, they did lose a lot of players from that team, and that one most notably is Jalen Milroe. So they will be breaking in a new quarterback in that game, but this is still going to be a really tough challenge. And all I've seen all offseason is how their players know that they're like on this tangent to do better because they know last year wasn't good enough.
Right.
Game 2, East Texas A&M, not a whole lot to talk about there. 3-9 FCS team from a year ago. They're pretty terrible. So, I mean, you better win that game. We talked about this where you should yes. have two easily winnable games. If you lose either one of these next two games, East Texas A&M or Kent State, those are automatic firing offenses, right? I think you leave.
You him. Don't make it off of Doak Campbell Field.
That's exactly. Yeah. And so game 3, of course, remember, you do get a bye week between East Texas A&M and Kent State. Kent State was 0-12 last year. They're 1-23 in the last 2 seasons. They lost 71-0 to Tennessee last year. They were dead last in scoring and scoring defense on both offense and defense. You better win that game by a comfortable margin. Game 4 at UVA, they went 5-7 last year, 3-5 in the ACC, lost 6 of their last 7 games. They did beat BC and Pitt, and 2 of those wins were against non-Power 4 teams, 107th in scoring offense, 93rd in scoring defense. This, you know, I know you have to go up there on a Friday night, and Virginia has gotten the best of us sometime, but they haven't had a winning season they've had 5 winning seasons in the past 20 years. You should beat them. You should win this game. And yep. I think that's a must-win game for Mike Norvell. Game 5, Miami, 10-3 last year. Obviously, we know they blew out Florida, but then they lost to Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and Iowa State in the bowl game. They should have lost to Virginia Tech, and they should have lost to Cal, and maybe even Louisville. That team got saved by the refs, some incredible luck, and Cam Ward just being that daggone good. But Cam Ward is not there anymore, so that first-ranked scoring offense will be something to see whether they can hold up or not, because I believe they lost something like 83.9% of their total receiving yards and 80% of their touchdowns. They lost the quarterback. They lost a 1,000-yard rusher. Defense wasn't great last year at 68th. So, again, you know, and they're going to be coming off of UF. So that's right. They're going to be coming off a bye off of UF, and they have Notre Dame early in the season too. So we're going to know a lot about Miami before that game gets here. Game 6, you get Pitt, 7-6 last year, started hot 7-0, then lost the last 6 games, including the bowl game to Toledo. This is a team I just don't know where Pitt's at. They're kind of like us this year, man. I just don't know. 30th ranked scoring offense, 91st scoring defense. Man, it's just going to be. That's one I don't know. I'm glad you get them at home, though, because Pitt can be kind of a tough one. They almost beat Clemson last year, too. Game 7, you got to go out to Stanford late kick. 3-9 last year. Somehow, they beat Syracuse and Louisville. So I don't want to act like this game is just a penciled-in win. When you go to the West Coast and have that late game, it can be kind of tricky. That's what happened with Cal and Miami last year. Miami almost got upset by Cal. But they did get blown out 5 times last year. Scoring offense was 106th. Scoring defense was 116th. They lost their quarterback, and they have a new head coach. So that's another game you should win. I feel like we shouldn't even be talking about whether you should lose that game at Florida State. But that's just the circumstance that we're in. Game 8, Wake Forest, 4-8 last year, 2-6 in ACC play. 2 of their 4 wins were against non-Power 5 teams. Somehow they beat NC State in Raleigh. That makes no sense. Scoring offense, 87th. Scoring defense, 84 or 114th. Look, the Sam Hartman days are over. Wake Forest is kind of back to being Wake. They did hire a new coach. Thank goodness, no more slow mesh offense, Michael, which was kind of the one thing that kept them in the picture. They did get Jake Dickert from Washington State head coach, who wasn't exactly great out there playing a basically a Mountain West schedule. And they lost their starting quarterback and entire offensive line, the entire offensive line. Game nine at Clemson. This is going to be a tough one. 10-4 last year, 8-1 in ACC play, won the conference. They did lose two home games last year, which was the first time they lost multiple home games since 2010. But we've only won there twice in the past 20 years, and it was the two best teams that we had in those 20 years. So that's going to be a tough one. Cade Klubnik's back. They got a lot of people returning. They got Penn State's DC, which was an upgrade from what they had. That's going to be a tough one there. Game 10, Virginia Tech inside Doak Campbell Stadium. You know, Virginia Tech doesn't play nearly as good on the road as they do at home. 6-7, 4-4 in the ACC. Could have beat Miami, did beat Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, 67th in scoring offense, 39th in scoring defense. So I feel like you should probably do well in that game. Game 11, NC State, 6-7 last year, 3-5 in the ACC. Almost lost to an FCS team last year, was losing to Louisiana Tech in the third quarter, got the brakes beat off of them against Tennessee and Clemson, lost to Wake Forest at home, lost to East Carolina in a bowl game. Really just kind of like Florida State, man, an untypical season for them, but they still managed to win six games and make a bowl game. So you got to go up to Carter Finley knowing that we've had a hard time winning. Yep, haven't won up there since 2016, 2-5 in the past seven meetings. They do bring C.J. Bailey back, dual threat quarterback. So that's going to be interesting, but they did lose some pieces there as well. And then, of course, we know the last game of the season is at Florida in the Swamp, 8-5 last year. They ended on a hot streak, beating LSU, Ole Miss, of course, us. They won their bowl game. I think it was against Tulane, 64th in scoring offense, 42nd in scoring defense. Lagway is back, but they did lose some pieces there as well. So that's just a refresh of kind of the schedule and the teams that you're at. Look, Michael, when I read that, I look at like, there's not a ton of teams that are coming off a really great season, right? Even Clemson's playoff run was kind of suspect there. They kind of snuck in at the last minute by the automatic qualifier bid. Bama was nowhere near where it was supposed to be. Miami had their best season in 20 years. They got gutted this offseason. Now, they did a good job of reloading, but we're going to see how much that is. So there's a lot of games on here, man. We were talking about this before. I think when you look at East Texas A&M and Kent State, those should be guarantee wins, right? Yep. Again, lose those, that's a fireable offense. I think Virginia, Wake Forest, Stanford, and Virginia Tech, those are win games, right? Pitt is tough to call, man. I feel like Pitt should be a one that you would throw into that category, but Pitt can be a tricky team.
Yep.
And then you got the four tough ones, right? And with Florida, Alabama, Clemson, and Miami, and then that NC State game is a true coin flip because you probably have more talent. You're probably as good of a team, but you have to play at a place that you can't win or you've had a hard time winning. I don't want to say can't win. But when we get to now that we've gotten through kind of the schedule refresh, I do want to let's just kind of rip the Band-Aid off first, right? Let's go with the kind of the lower end of the spectrum here.
Okay.
You know, we talked about why Florida State should be better in 2024. And again, 2025, go back and watch that episode. I think the O-line's going to be better. I think they're going to run the ball better. I think they're going to stop the run better. I think they're going to be more disciplined, more effort. I think you have a better quarterback this year because he actually will move his legs. You know, whether he can throw or not, DJU couldn't throw and he couldn't run. So at least now you have someone who can run the ball. But the thing that worries me the most, Michael, about this team is competitive depth. Like, how good are you once you peel that top layer off? If you were to lose a Darryl Jackson for any period of time, for say a big or a coin flip game, if you were to lose Thomas Castellanos for, you know, if he were to miss some time from being beat up, from being a running quarterback, those are the things that I could see where that could get us in some trouble, right? And then the other external factors, I think, is Pitt the 7-0 team or the 0-6 team? They had a young quarterback who was kind of a phenom, and I think when he got hurt, that's when they started looking bad. You know, is NC State going to have a rebound season? That's something that we don't know as well. How good is Miami going to be? How good is Florida going to be? Because I mean, Florida's not some juggernaut, and neither is Miami. So these are games that you could win too. But I think you're one just – the biggest asterisk you can put by the season as what's going to determine your outcome is your health. right? Yep. If we always joke about this, if you could be like the NCAA football game and turn injuries off,
oh my gosh,
I think you would lift your ceiling by at least 3 games.
Correct.
But if you were to miss any, and some of these teams overachieve compared to where you're at, man, I could see a basement of somewhere around 4-8. Like, yeah. And that's with 2 gimme wins.
Yep.
So that's kind of where I fall. I want to say maybe 5-7, but yeah, man, I mean, I just, some of the way the schedule shakes out, I don't think is unfriendly to you, but that back half is kind of tough.
Yeah, I actually agree with your floor. I think the floor, I mean, listen, of course, worst case scenario could always be they go 0-12, right?
Right, right.
But after I was trying to do some research prior to this episode, it is rare for a D1 Power 4 program to go 2-10 and then do the same thing or go worse the next season. It's super rare. Like, yeah, you have to go all the way back into like the 60s and 70s to find anything. And I didn't have enough time to get that deep, but it's very rare. So, and I would also say too, is I feel like Florida State, they remove some of the, I'm gonna call it stink, some of the stink from the program, right? When, you know, some players left through the transfer portal, whether they wanted to or they were asked to. I mostly believe they were asked to. Obviously, the new coordinators brought in a new whole set of energy. These are actual football coaches, not that the other ones weren't, but like, you know, they were actually focused on their job, trying to do their job. They've both had success where they've been. And Gus Malzahn, obviously head coach at Auburn and UCF and offensive coordinator for a national championship contending team and a national championship winning team, as well as, you know, head coach at Tulsa. He's done stuff. Obviously, Tony White was at Syracuse and Nebraska, top 20 defenses. So they've had success where they've been. Mike Norvell moving to that more CEO-like aspect of the program. And I would say, too, Jesse, is that they brought in better players. I'm not going to say they're better than 2023 players, but they are better definitely than last year's players. So to me, they're at least 2 games better floor-wise, okay? Right. They're at least 2 games better from the floor. So I agree with your 4-8. I think that is probably the floor of Florida State football for 2025, is that they win those 2 guaranteed games. They beat probably Virginia Tech and they, you know, Wake Forest somewhere in there. But then somebody, they're going to lose a couple games. They could lose a couple games that they shouldn't lose. And then those 4 games, Miami, Florida, Alabama, and Clemson, are just guaranteed losses. Like, if you're looking at it from the floor up,
right,
then I would say it's 4-8. That's probably the worst it could be. It's a 2-game improvement, but it's not better. And if it's 4-8, we're looking for a whole new coaching staff next season.
Yep. Yeah, I 1,000% agree. And that's the one thing that I do want to reiterate, is this is like the injury bug bit you,
right?
The turnover margin didn't go your way. The ball didn't bounce your way.
Bad play calling, all of it.
Right, like the other teams were maybe better than you thought they were going to be, or something like that. That's the absolute worst case scenario, and that's what I can see. And really, I probably around 4-8 to 5-7, right? But again, some things can be tricky there. Now, when you flip the script and you go to the best case scenario, please hear me when I say this. This is what I believe could be the best case scenario. I'm not telling you this is what's going to happen. We're going to do that part in a second, our most likely landing spot. You know, Michael, when I look at this schedule, man, I think if everything hits like it should, and if you don't get bit by the injury bug, and, you know, I saw something on social media where it looks like Jason Jenkins might be back for that first game, and that would be big for your defensive line.
Yeah.
I know it's going to sound crazy, and I promise you guys, I have not had anything to drink this morning other than a cup of coffee. I mean, I think your absolute ceiling here is 10-2, right? Yeah. I don't, because I think when you look at the games, like, if you're good enough to go 10-2, chances are you're probably good enough to beat all those mid to lower tier teams. And then you come down to those 4 tough games. Those are the ones you're probably going to split, right? And that's assuming you go to Carter-Finley and win. Man, Miami, again, has a lot to replace. They lost Restrepo. They lost their running back. They lost Cam Ward. They're bringing in a new defensive coordinator themselves. They don't have a lot of depth at quarterback either. If something happens to Cam Ward, or excuse me, Carson Beck, they're probably in trouble too. So, and you get them at home. So I don't think that game is like unwinnable. If I had to pick one of the 4 games to have an upset, that's the one I'm going to pick. The other game here that I think would probably be most possible is Florida. I know you have to go into the swamp. Tate Rodemaker went into the swamp and beat them boys exactly a couple of years ago and really had nothing to do with it. So that game was really won by your defense. So I think, man, if you can run the ball, and I mean, like, I know Lagway looked pretty good for a freshman last year, but it wasn't great. I think he had like 9 touchdowns and 12 interceptions or something like that. So it's not, it wasn't super great there. They remember they wanted to throw Billy in a trash can the first half of the season. Right. And then you know, then they won a couple games and all of a sudden they were standing behind them. So I don't think that game's impossible of winning either. You know, Alabama is a team that lost to Vandy last year, got blown out by a 6-6 Oklahoma on the road, 2-4 outside of Bryant Denny. We already talked about all that stuff. They're breaking in a brand new quarterback in game one. So I'm not picking us to win that game, but I'm saying I could see a path to where you could, you know, no one picked us to beat LSU 2 years in a row, and did. So I think that's possible too. The one that I just don't really see a chance in is beating Clemson at Clemson because of what they're bringing back. But with that being said, I mean, Clemson is, again, like I said, they lost 2 games at home last year, and one was to a pretty okay South Carolina team that I think won 9 games. So it's not unreal to think that they could pull some upsets in some of these games. It's just, like you said, I think there is going to be where you got a couple ones that you're probably going to lose because Alabama still has a boatload of talent, and so does Clemson. So does Miami and Florida. And then you got to not lose any of the unexpected games like an NC State. You can't go up there and get upset, obviously, for that to happen. But I think that's like your best case scenario. I think you probably could go. I was going to go with 9-3, but I mean, man, I'm just not super intimidated by Florida and Miami. We played Florida, you know, we're not giving the ball away 25 times last year. Who knows where that game ends up? And then Miami, I mean, that was their best team in 20 years and our worst in 50 years. And that might've been your best game of the season.
Yeah.
So, I think your pie in the sky scenario could be as good as 10-2.
Okay. I like
that. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but
no. Yeah. We're not, this is not us guaranteeing this. We're just thinking what could be the ceiling of this. I like that. I'm going to go slightly just one game off. I'm going to go 9-3. And here's why. I think I'm not saying this is going to happen, but any reasonable fan could look at Alabama and Clemson and say, okay, yes, Alabama's at home. Yes, they're breaking in a new quarterback, but Alabama has years upon years of recruiting on Florida State. They got, no matter how down they are, they still have all of that Nick Saban recruiting in the trenches, which is where it matters the most. Yep. So you could almost say, yeah, I could understand someone said that's a guaranteed L. I can totally understand that. I could totally understand if someone says Clemson is a guaranteed L. You're going in the Death Valley. You've only won there once in gosh knows how long.
And twice even in 20 years.
Yeah, twice in 20 years. And even that last one took a miracle throw by Jordan Travis to Keon Coleman in the corner of the end zone there to get that win in overtime.
And the other one took Jameis Winston.
Thank you. Exactly. So it took all world quarterbacks to beat them at Death Valley Stadium. So I totally understand people looking at those 2 games and saying those are guaranteed losses. I could get behind that and be like, okay, I could see that for sure. What I think the flip for me, the one that's kind of like I want to say we could go there and do it, but I just don't have much confidence, is going to Gainesville. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I've never seen a game in the Swamp, but Florida State has typically struggled in the Swamp just as a program in general. And so, yes, Tate Rodemaker went there a couple years ago, and Florida State won that game. Billy was on the hot seat and everything. They did come in the doke last year, get Florida State, you know, a couple mistakes here or there. DJ Lagway did look pretty good, but then also, you know, he's losing some of those weapons he had last year as well, too. Yeah. That's just such a hard one for me to be like, to give Florida State the edge in that. Outside of that, Jesse, though, you got Miami coming to Doak Campbell Stadium. You got Miami coming to Doak Campbell Stadium. Yes, they did recruit well. Yes, they did fill up in the portal, whatever, but they lost a lot. They lost the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. They lost a bunch of receivers. They lost offensive people. I mean, defense. They are coming to your house. You cannot lose this game. So I'm going to go ahead and give Florida State the slight edge in being able to win that game. And then when I look at everything else, remember, take Alabama, Clemson, and Florida out. When I look at everything else, I see a more possibility of winning than I do see a possibility of them losing. So obviously Kent State, you know, we keep saying it. And the reason why we keep saying it is just because we just want to make it clear. You lose East Texas A&M, Kent State, don't even make it back to the locker room. Just leave. Just go.
Yeah.
They'll find an interim. They'll figure it out.
Climb your butt up out this program.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. Virginia, they've been a poor program. Yes, it's a Friday. It's a high school game. Yes, we've struggled there a little bit. It's Virginia. You should win that game. I've already gave my case about beating Miami. Pitt, you know, Florida State historically is 2-3 against Pitt at Doak Campbell Stadium. And they've lost the last three when Pitt has come to Doak Campbell. You got to win this game. You should be able to win this game. Stanford, yes, they did beat Louisville. Yes, they're tricky. Yes, you're flying all the way across the country. It's going to be 10:30 your time, 7:30 their time. But you should win this game. They got a new coach. They had to get that new coach in the basically during the middle of the portal season, so he wasn't able to get a lot of players. They're going to be playing with a lot of the similar players they played with last year. That team wasn't very good. Obviously, you know, they beat Louisville. You should win that game. You should beat Wake Forest. You should beat Virginia Tech coming to your house. And NC State, it's crazy for me to think this because Carter Finley Stadium has given us many, many nightmares. But there, you are a better team than them. You should go there and you should win. If they do that, if they hold to that standard right there, they should leave the season 9-3, go into a decent bowl game, and then looking forward, getting back to at least 10 wins in 2026.
Yeah, and you know, the crazy thing about your situation is if that happens, your two of your losses are Alabama and Florida. So that's non-ACC games.
Correct.
So then that means you really only have one ACC loss, which could put you in the ACC championship game, which could also put you in the playoff picture.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. And again, like, this is the pie in the sky thing. But I do want to say that, like, we already talked about the reason we think they're going to be better. But I do like the pieces that they got on this offensive line. Yes. I do think Squirrel White, if he can stay healthy, I mean, he put up 800 yards 2 years ago. And it was 100 of that was against Alabama. Deuce Robinson is a natural mismatch who's, you know, he's been pretty productive at USC. Yep. And now he's coming into his junior year here, his third year. You know, I like some of the defense. If they can stay healthy, maybe James Williams is that dude. He did put on like 15, 20 pounds of mass. If Jason Jenkins is healthy, if Daryl Jackson stays healthy throughout the year, you know, we like the linebacker room. I think Florida State, it could be better. Like, you can see the potential in there.
Yep.
I think really for me, it's more about staying healthy and how is this coaching going to work out, right? Yeah. How is this going to be? Because you just don't know what it's going to be, man. That's the thing about even under the Mike Norvell era is it's just been so many wild swings. It's either like really pretty good double-digit winning season or really bad losing season. So you're just kind of wondering where we haven't even really had a middle ground season yet. But now when you talk about the most likely case scenario where Florida State's going to end up, for me, Michael, I'm going to put it at 8-4. And I really want to lean 7-5, but I think I want to go 8-4. You know, I do think you lose to Clemson. I do think you lose to Alabama, but I do think you keep it competitive. I do think you probably drop that NC State game and then maybe Florida. I think you probably I just got this. Maybe it's just this weird feeling, right? Maybe it's just the internal hate for Miami bubbling in my stomach. But I've just got a feeling we're going to pull an upset in that game. You just never know. Or maybe even Florida. So I think you're probably going to end up at 8-4. If I had to put my mortgage on it, I'd make it 7-5, if I'm being honest. But I think Florida State most likely ends up somewhere around 8-4. I think they make a bowl. And then, I mean, you could win 9 games through that route, right? You could end up going 9-4 with a bowl win there. So I think that's a heck of a lot better than 2-10, not where we want to be, but I think that's pretty respectable for where you're coming from in 2024 for the 2025 season. Now, of course, you got to build on that going forward. You got to recruit better. You got to do all the things to ensure that maybe 8-4 is your floor next year, but that's about where I see them ending up. And like I said, I mean, I could see where you got to stay pretty healthy for that. And I could also see 7-5, but man, I feel like they got it in them to pull at least one upset this year.
I totally agree, and listen, that's a 6-game improvement. That's a really good level of improvement there. I've kind of been between, I think they're going to be at least 5 to 6 games better. I've been holding on to the 7-5, and the reason is because though that game at Virginia and at NC State, man, I just, you know, Friday night, you know, the ACC loves putting Florida State on a Friday night. It just drives me nuts because we don't win those Friday night games very often. And we got two of them this year, which drives me nuts. It's hard for me to pick against Florida State and against Miami. I just think those four games, the big four, Bama, Miami, Clemson, and Florida, until I see it, it's hard for me to just go in believing we're actually going to win those games until I see it. So I've already got those as losses on the season. And I just think one of those Friday games is going to get us, either Virginia or NC State. It better not be both, but right. I think one of them will. And so that leads me at 7-5. And that is a very, very tricky situation because it is a 5-game increase, obviously, over the 2-10, but it's like, oh, this was not good, but yeah, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really when you think of the beginning of the season, right, that it's going to be really monumental. Those first about four games, right? Yep. Because those first four games, like if you go into that Miami game, and, you know, again, I actually kind of initially I didn't love the way the schedule set up. Like, I really wish you could have bumped that East Texas A&M game in front of the Alabama game. Would have felt a lot better about that. But knowing that coming off that Alabama game, you got 3 weeks, including the bye week in the middle there, to really hammer out some things and get some things right before that Friday night game at Virginia. Look, if you're going into Miami at 3-1 with a competitive loss to Alabama, I think you probably feel okay with going into that game where you're at. You know, if you go into that Miami game at 2-2 and then you lose that game and you're going into Pitt at 2-3, the wheels have kind of come off already early in the season, and you still have some tough games on the backside of that schedule. So that's where you can kind of see things start to come unwound. So to me, we talked about before with the Alabama being almost the most important game of the season. And I think it is, because if you lose that game, you know, 42-3 or something like that, Lord, please don't let that happen, then I think you're going to be like, oh, whoa, here comes the same thing.
Right.
But man, I think one of the biggest ones is that Virginia game. I think that is one of the most important games of the season, because you can't afford to lose that game against one of the lower level ACC teams on your schedule. Even if it is on the road between Alabama and Miami, you just can't lose that game.
Right.
And at that point, they're all obviously going to be important, but yeah, I think 8-4 is probably where I'm at between 8-4 and 7-5. But again, I could see it very widely, man, anywhere from 4 to as really as high as 10 wins if everything just hits. And everything has to hit for them to get that, and they have to stay healthy. But it's just a really wild season coming up, Michael. Yeah. I mean, it's like I have no place to call it. And that's the thing. Like, my wife was asking me the other day, you know, how confident are you in that Bama game? And you were asking me the same thing. Like, could you see it happening? And I said, I mean, I feel like they can win that game. Any game can be decided. No one thought Vanderbilt was going to win that game last year against them. Right. You can win that game. And Vanderbilt was the best team Vanderbilt's had in a long time, but they still, I think, only went 6-7 or 6-6 or something like that. So, yeah, I think you can win that game. I just feel better about this team this year. I really do. I feel like they can actually turn this thing around. But that 2-10 just kind of like hang like a spider in the corner of the room in his web. You know what I mean? Just kind of hangs out in the back of your mind. Like, man, if the second, if we get down by 17 to Alabama or whatever, I'm like, oh, here comes 4-8. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's just the hard thing about the season is it feels like you can throw a dart on the board and it could end up anywhere.
Well, I mean, that 2-10 distorted reality for us, for Florida State fans. It really did. Because if we'd gone, let's say last year we went 8-4. Let's just say we went 8-4. There's no way you or I or any Florida State fan is going in this Alabama game thinking we can't win, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, heck no.
We'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
But going 2-10 has distorted any ability to have a rational, reasonable thought, because 2-10, like you said, is lingering right there. And for me, like, I just – listen, let me just give you my small – if I could make a case for them beating Alabama. Alabama went into a terrible Oklahoma – team within the Gaylord, whatever that Memorial Stadium is, and a 6-6 Oklahoma team spanked that Alabama team.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even a game. Now, that Oklahoma team was better than the 2-10 by record, but I wouldn't say by like total athletes on that team.
Mm-mm.
And so if that Oklahoma team could do that to that Alabama team. Now, yes, like you say, every team has a right to get better. They also have a right to get worse.
Right.
Florida State, we assume, has gotten better based on the talent they brought in. Bama's coming to Florida State, coming to Doak Campbell Stadium. Bama's bringing a new quarterback, Ty Simpson. He's the one that's basically been projected by all the pundits out there to be the starter, right? They still didn't recruit the greatest recruiting class ever. They still are holding on to some of the previous stuff. There's more pressure on Kalen DeBoer to win this game than there is Mike Norvell, because they're a 12-point favorite. So if Florida State can put some game pressure on them, then the tide starts turning, no pun intended. We might be in the fourth quarter looking at a – you go from, yeah, they ain't winning this game, to, they might win this game, to, oh, shoot, they might be able to – they're going to win this game. That changes that stadium in a heartbeat. Yeah. And you and I both know, Doak, when it's rocking, it's one of the hardest places to win in. So that's my one little, like, argument in my head that I'm making to say they could win this game.
Yeah, and that's going to set the tone for the season. And that's why we said in that whole episode that we did that you can find on the channel, why Alabama is the most important game of Mike Norvell's career, because I think this is one where you really have a chance to either bury 2-10 or you know, set it in the front yard and let everybody
wreck it.
Right, exactly. And so, man, it's going to be an interesting season. If you're watching on YouTube, drop in the comments, what is your ceiling, what is your floor, and what is your most likely record? I'm interested to hear it from you guys as well. And I think, you know, again, one of the things that tears at my mind is, like I always talk about, I get a wide range of opinions as run and plant the spear. And some people definitely think we're going to go 4-8.
Yep.
Some people definitely think we can go 10-2. But I think most of us do fall in that 7-5 to 8-4 range. Yep. And again, that's not where we want to be, but it's better than last year. And I think it can be that kind of that little mini step up to getting back to where you want to be. But it's a prove-it year for Mike Norvell. It's a prove-it year for the staff. And you got to come in there and do it, man. So I'm really just excited to see it play out. I'm a little nervous to see it play out because, back to the one example before we get out of here is, remember that Clemson ended up getting blown out by Georgia last year and still went on to win the conference and make the playoffs. So what happens in that Alabama game does not necessarily define your entire season. Things can still happen. But you got to be able to rebound, and you got to be able to go win the games that you should, which for the most part, other than last year, they've been good at doing that. So, man, we'll see. I mean, hopefully they got like some season opening LSU magic in there or something like that. I don't know if maybe that's just because Brian Kelly can't win a season opener to save his life or something. I'm just ready, right? I'm nervously excited for the season, but I'm ready for it to get started. So that's going to be it for today, guys. That is the show. We appreciate you watching us. Like I said, go back and check out that data-driven reasons why we think Florida State's going to be better in 2025. I think you guys will enjoy that one as well. One thing that I was going to mention, for those of you that listen on podcast only, I don't want you to feel like we're not catering to you as well, just because we talk about the YouTube audience a lot. I think I may even look at opening up like a Patreon account or something like that. If you are a podcast only listener and you would like to support us as well. So that may be something to be on the lookout. I have to figure all that stuff out, but we'll be doing that in the next coming days. So again, we appreciate you guys. If you happen to join before the next episode, we really appreciate you guys. Again, this is the family here and we do it for you guys. So just excited for that new opportunity. And if not, then hey, we appreciate you watching. We appreciate all the interaction. And again, guys, can't wait for the next one. Super regionals this weekend. If you haven't seen it, we have a preview for that. It should be coming up soon. Best of luck to Lincoln, the guys all the way out there in Corvallis, Oregon. Yes. Trip to Omaha on the line. Excited for that as well. So thanks, guys, for watching. We'll catch you on the next one. And as always, go Noles.